But I want to ask you a question. What makes a good leader? Oh, Phil's got his hand up there. Phil's been a leader for ages. Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to ask my permission to let the children out. Children, do you want to go out? Or do you want to say, can I come with you? I'll come with you. Yep. Go and do some great things out there.
Eden, this way, love me.
Lord, just bless them while they're out there. We pray. So, what makes a good leader? Some of the qualities, I suppose, if I were to run around you and ask you things, you would tell me, well, people who are reliable, people who are wise, people who are knowledgeable, experienced, qualified, high status, come from a good family background, chosen by the people, confident. Are you ticking off these things to see whether you fit into this category? Strong, courageous, a proven clean record, a good track record, visionary, respected, well-educated, good earner. Oh, and of course, you need to be a man. Are you with me on all those things? Well, let us look at some of the leaders that God has appointed to lead his people and see how they fit into that category. You see, it might be that when we're talking about leaders, you might already have written yourself off. You might say, well, no, I don't fit into any of those categories. I'm going to just rule myself out. Look at my track record. Look at my lack of qualifications. Look at my family background. I was brought up on the wrong side of the tracks, you see. I'm none of those things. And I ruled myself out years ago. Ruled myself out years ago. Yeah, once I had dreams, but I put them to one side. I'm just not good enough. I'm just not good enough. I lay them all to rest. I don't measure up. But I want to spend the rest of the time with you this morning to see what God has to say about leaders in his kingdom. How God chooses leaders. How he chooses people. Who he sees as good leaders. And I'm going to quite quickly go through a number of biblical characters. There's a seriousness about this, but I hope we have a little bit of fun with it as well. Well, where can we start? We start at the beginning with Adam. Adam? Well, his racial ancestry can't really be confirmed. So we don't know anything about that. He was a good man, but he had trouble with his wife, didn't he? She certainly didn't respect him. And there's one story, one reference tells how and his wife enjoyed walking nude in the woods until God finally made them put on clothes. Would you necessarily choose him as a leader? No, well, then we come to Noah. Noah. Well, he had been a pastor for about 120 years. And he didn't have any converts. How sad that was. And he was prone to unrealistic building projects. He was a great animal lover, yes. But the neighborhood he lived in, they received a flood of complaints. Oh, flood of complaints? Yeah. As he was about to leave town. Joseph. Joseph. It's one of my heroes is Joseph. He's a big thinker. But he also was a bit of a big head as well. He believed in dream interpreting. And yeah, he had a prison record for over accusations of assaulting his boss's wife. But he was good with budgets and managing resources, however. Would that be somebody you would necessarily immediately think, well, that's a good leader? Let's move on a little bit into Moses. Well, Moses was a modest and a meek man. But he was a poor communicator. It said that he stuttered when he spoke. And he sometimes loses his temper. And he acts rashly in business meetings. And some say he left an earlier position because he was up on a murder charge. Moses often claims also to get direct quotes from God. You see, a bit too much over the top for most folk. Some say he was a basket case from the beginning. Oh. Then we have Deborah. Well, I've just got one word for Deborah. She was a woman. Got nothing more to say about that. Actually, we'll be saying a bit more later. But she was a woman. She was a female. And then we have David. Well, David was the most promising leader of all until we discovered that he had an affair with his neighbour's wife. And besides, he can't control his own household. So why should anybody respect him if he can't control his own household? Solomon, the great preacher. But he too had serious woman problems. Yeah, he was independently wealthy. So the church could pay him less and he can make up the difference. Let's have him as a leader. I've got a number to go through yet. Elijah, prone to depression. Elijah. He collapses under pressure, does Elijah. Besides, no one has seen him for a long time. He seems to have disappeared. He doesn't work well with other religious leaders either. Tends to do things himself. Hosea, a tender and a loving pastor. But people just couldn't handle his wife's occupation. Today we'd say she was a woman of ill repute. But then we come to Jonah. Jonah, of course. Well, Jonah tells us he was swallowed by a great fish. He said the fish later spat him out on the shore 3 days later. It said that really he needs to be in hospital for the somewhat funny people. Amos, too much of a country bumpkin. He was backward and unpolished. With some seminary training, he might just make the grade. He has promise. But he seems to have a hang-up about wealthy people. Then we move on. I went into the New Testament characters. John the Baptist. Well, he says he's a Baptist, but he doesn't dress like one. Maybe he's a bit too Pentecostal. Waves his hand around when he's speaking and in worship. He sleeps outdoors. And he has a weird diet. And he provokes others, especially other denominational leaders. Nah, don't fancy him as a leader. Peter. Wow, now let's look at Peter. Some say, well, he's just too blue-coloured. He's too up there. He has a bad temper as well. He has a bad temper. He even said to have cursed. Let me get my notes together. He's a bit of a fair-weather believer as well. He's okay in the good times, but a bit of a loose cannon. Let's move on to Paul. Paul. He was a powerful CEO type, was Paul. And he was apparently a fascinating preacher. However, he was a bit short on tact. He was a bit unforgiving with junior ministers. A bit unforgiving. A bit harsh. Sermons were a bit long. Sometimes he preached all night. Nobody wants that. It's very offensive to women when he starts preaching about his submission bits. That's all that. He too has a criminal record as long as his arm from many cities. Timothy. Well, all we can say about Timothy is, well, he's too young and he's too inexperienced. Let's have a look at Jesus himself. He has had popular times occasionally, particularly when his church grew overnight to 5,000 people. But he managed to offend them all with too hard a message. Eventually his church dwindled down to 12 people, and then finally to 11. And then even the faithful few finally left him. And critics report that he seldom stays in one place for any time. He says he's easily distracted. He's easily distracted by the poor, the sick, and the needy people. So he doesn't focus on ministry. And it's said that he disappeared for 40 days once on a camping trip. Doesn't seem a likely leader. When he disappeared, everybody thought he had left the ministry. He spends too much time in meditation. Needs to attend more to the organisational side of things without making a spectacle of himself and displaying his temper. Oh, and he hangs around with sinners most of the time. Not a likely leader. His followers are too radical at times for society. And those who follow him seem to be heading for a showdown somewhere in the future. Oh, and besides, he's Jewish. Can't have that as a leader. That's a quick run through leaders that God has chosen. I don't know if you can identify with some of them more than others. I certainly do. But I mentioned Deborah. I mentioned Deborah a little earlier. Let's look at her a little bit more deeply. Why is she an unlikely leader? Well, I think you're getting the message now. She's an unlikely leader because she's a woman. She's a good example, early example of girl power. You know the Spice Girls, girl power? Oh, I felt like Trump there for a minute. Girl power. Girl power. Early example of girl power in a time when women were treated badly. Certainly in terms of leadership and influence in society. I'm going to ask Graham to just come and read from Judges 4 about Deborah. It's from the Message version of Judges.
The people of Israel kept doing evil in God's sight, so God sold them off to Jabin, king of Canaan. Sisera, who lived at Harosheth Hagoyim, was the commander of his army. The people of Israel cried out to God because the king had cruelly oppressed them with his 900 iron chariots for 20 years. Deborah was a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth. She was judge over Israel at that time. She held court under Deborah's palm between Ramah and Bethel in the hills of Ephraim. The people of Israel went to her in matters of justice. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "It has become clear that God, the God of Israel, commands you. Go to Mount Tabor and prepare for battle. Take 10 companies of soldiers from Naphtali and Zebulun. I'll take care of getting Sisera, the leader of Jabin's army, to the Kishon River with all his chariots and troops, and I'll make sure that you win the battle." Barak said, "If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." She said, "Of course I will go with you. But understand, with an attitude like that, there will be no glory in it for you. God will use a woman's hand to take care of Sisera." Deborah got ready and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together at Kadesh. 10 companies of men followed him, and Deborah was with him. Sisera immediately called up all his chariots to the Kishon River, 900 iron chariots, along with all his troops who were with him at Haroseth Hagoyim. Deborah said to Barak, "Charge! This very day God has given you victory over Sisera. Isn't God marching before you?" Barak charged down the slopes of Mount Tabor. His 10 companies followed him. God routed Sisera and his army.
The events described in the book called The Judges are from a period probably about 1,125 years before Jesus. And the book of Judges tells lots of amazing stories about the way God spoke to his people and the Israelites. You see, the people, not for the first time, kept on messing with God. They kept up messing up things. So God kept sending people along that he'd chosen especially to speak to them. He chose people along to speak to them, to save them from their enemies and try to get them back on track with himself. And those people were called judges, hence the name of that book of the Bible. See, at that time the people had ignored the things of God and in their disobedience had been taken over by a neighbouring king and were being treated very badly. Deborah was one of the judges. And she had heard from God and she called a man called Barak to gather together 10,000 men. And when he had done that, she would arrange for him to meet with the enemy and God would grant him the victory. That was the plan. But Barak, the man, was frightened. And he had every reason to be. The enemy was very strong. He said that he would not go unless Deborah went with him. But Deborah reminds him that if she goes with him, then the victory would be hers and not his. I'd love to be in that conversation, listening. Yeah, sure. What was going on? What was said? But God keeps his promise. Deborah does turn up with him. The enemy is defeated and the people of Israel have peace for the next 40 years. But it's through an unlikely source. It's through Deborah, a woman. See, Deborah joins the hundreds of people that God chooses to be leaders. Unlikely leaders in the world's sense, but in God's kingdom, glorious, wonderful leaders. Leaders who have changed the world and can change the world. You know, we live in very troubled times at the moment. We need to be looking for leaders who can change things. God has a plan and we need to get on board with that plan. As I said earlier, how many of you How many of us had the thought, God just can't use me? I'm not good enough. I'm not mature enough in my Christian walk. God can't use me because I'm still in sin and I fall constantly. And then Satan gets his little dig in about how God can't use me as well. Recognize the symptoms? You see, that's a joke. That's a joke. What a joke. God can't use me. Did you know that God can and will use the most unlikely people to do the most extraordinary things? God can use you and me. Very unlikely in human terms, but can use you and I to do the most extraordinary, not the ordinary things, yes, you do them as well, but extraordinary things. He doesn't wait until we're perfect, because that's not likely to happen this side of heaven. He doesn't wait for that. See, I hate to break it to you, but you're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect until we get into heaven and meet with our Lord Jesus Christ. But he still can and will use us on earth, where we're alive, if we're willing. See, to be a leader for God doesn't necessarily mean in marching an army into battle. It often just means, I use the word just. Do you find in Christian circles we use just? Lord, I'm just praying for this. Lord, just grant. I'm not asking for Betty Butch. I'm just asking. I hate using the word just, and I've just used it there. But God using us means often taking the lead in sharing and caring for someone. Becoming a friend to somebody who's been treated badly. It means standing up for Jesus when he's made a joke of. So I suppose I'm going to leave you with a question. So how about you? How about you? Do you feel less than perfect for such a role? See, the good news is that God has a long, long history of using imperfect people for his kingdom purposes, using the least likely people. And I want us to have a sense of pleasure and of being glad that God uses imperfect people. I sure am. And I want to finish with some words which were quoted by Robert De Niro. You talking to me? Remember that line from Taxi Driver? You talking to me? You better believe it. God's talking to you this morning, and he's talking to me. He's talking to you and me this morning. God has great things for you, individually and corporately, for Sandy Baptist Church. You better believe it. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you've taken our lives and you say you want to use us. Lord, it's just amazing. You want us to be kingdom people, not just for our own benefit of salvation, but you want us to be co-workers with you in the building of your kingdom. Lord, you've granted each one of us a gift. A gift which you wish to use wisely and well. And I pray, Lord, that we might embrace that gift. We might be looking for opportunities to use those gifts. And when those gifts arise, we will embrace them wholeheartedly and with joy and with enthusiasm. Lord, it's not in our own strength that we are anything. It's in you, Lord, that we have everything. We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask, we're going to have a time of communion.